Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Well, on February 12th, like Pastor Shelby just said, we're having I guess you'd call it a documentary movie, but it's really just a movie. The purpose of the movie is to really change our mindsets and help us make that shift to why we exist. So much of the time we have this mindset that, you know, we go to a church. And this is my church. And I go to my church. And don't get me wrong, the local churches are important. That's what God's heart's all about. He's all about the local church. But he's not all about the local church holding up in a building, you know, in between four walls, and we never influence the culture of our cities. Somebody said, amen. You here this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, take a look at this. Pretty amazing. He touched on something in that video that is really what I believe the Spirit of God wants to talk about this morning. By the way, on the screen there, you see the, I call it the Stairway to Heaven, but you can call it whatever you want to. We're going to have these reproduced very portably. And what it's designed for, again, like I mentioned last week, what it's designed for is for you, number one, to recognize where you're at. And then recognize and give you a goal to develop in the next step up. And obviously, it's not a matter of going from one and leaving the other. You're building on the previous one. One is built upon another one. We never want to stop. As you see the foundation there, we never want to stop prayer walking our neighborhoods. Let me ask you, how many got one of those books, the Attack Lamb books? If you got one of those books, raise your hand. How many have started reading it? How many have found something that stands out to you in that chapter that has become a life pursuit for you for this month? Because I promise you there is one in every single chapter. So I challenge you to go through, don't just read the book, because if you read the book, you know, you'll remember maybe 10% of it, maybe, by the time you're at the last chapter. But I challenge you to go through each chapter and write down and read the chapters for an entire month. Read the same chapter as many times as you can go through it. And write down what stands out to you in that chapter. What is one life pursuit that you want to develop into in that chapter? And then spend that month that you're reading that chapter working on developing into that one thing. Everybody say that one thing. Every time I see that movie. What's the name of that movie? City Slickers, where the guy had the one thing. There's one thing. So reread the chapter. Every month you read a different chapter. So that should take you about 22 months to build this book into your life. So by the time you're done, if you actually did what your pastor asked you to do, you will have become the book. It won't just be a book you read. Everybody said, amen. That's where we're going. So you'll look at this in conjunction with what we're talking about, and you'll find that the very first foundational step is prayer walking your neighborhood, your malls, I mentioned last week, the community college campuses. Really, in where there's people. And if you're reading the book, you'll understand what that phrase "parking the ark" means. And it'll get to be everywhere you go. That's what you'll love to do. But from there, I'm going to know we want to develop into actually connecting with people. A lot of folks would love to stay there. Well, I'll just stay. I'll just pray. But then you're not developing. And you're not what Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free. You're not free. The object of this 10 planks, and it was interesting that when he gave me these and I put them all down, I kind of saw what it looked like. When I was all done, I had the thought, look up what the number 10 stands for. I'm not a numerology guy. I never really have got into that. It's interesting, but I never have got into that. But the number 10 stands for completeness. So by the time you've developed into each stage of these areas, so you go from prayer walking your neighborhood, your malls, your college campuses, wherever there's people. And let's say the challenge for you is initiating conversation with strangers. I don't mean just, hi, how's it going, and you keep on moving. I'm talking about a prolonged conversation with a stranger. Then you would start and develop in that one until it got to be no problem at all for you. So then you jump to the next one, which is bring an encouraging word to someone else's life. And you develop in that one until it becomes no big deal to you. So then you jump to the next one and you bring God into your conversation. And I'll tell you how you know whether these are big deals to you, because if you go to bring God into a conversation and you have this hesitation. How many have felt that hesitation at some point in some area? Well, that's the area you need to develop until you override that hesitation without any issues. And you've overridden it so much it no longer becomes an issue at all for you. So then you jump to the next one and you work on developing. Asking the Lord to give you prophetic encouragement for someone. Contrary to the way you were raised, it's not somebody else's gift. Did you hear what I just said?
Yep.
It's not somebody else's gift. If you have His nature, it's inside of you. So then you learn how to pick up things God wants to tell people in public. Everybody say in public. Notice none of this is in the church. Not that it's a bad thing. I mean, you can learn here, I suppose. But it's all about outside the four walls. And when you get comfortable mentioning God, then you mention Jesus to people, and it doesn't, and you override that apprehension, and the apprehension ceases to be there after a while. You move over into giving people prophetic words. Once you develop in that, you just keep on moving to get to the place where you have no issues praying for people in public. You mean you want me to pray for someone right in the middle of the mall? Yes. Why would that bother you? Who told you that was supposed to bother you? So then you work on that until it doesn't bother you anymore. And then you come to the place where you've... It's not that apprehension may not come, but you just override it. It's no big deal. Then all of those things below become a normal part of your life, and if that becomes the issue, then all of a sudden now you realize that what you have reached is the top self, the top step, which is what I've called detoxing, because Paul said he came to a place in his life in Galatians where he was completely severed from the influence that the world had. We run around as Christians saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, but we won't do any of these. You're not free. Because you're still being pushed to stay in your place, keep your mouth shut, to get back in your box, go back in your building. See, part of being free indeed is you're at the top of this thing and you're jumping up and down. Amen? I said amen? So that's where we're headed. Really, that's what authentic community is. If you look in the book of Acts, this is what they did. You had folks that would go into cities that they were completely out of touch with what was acceptable, and they went ahead and they began to give the message of the gospel to un-Jewish people. Can you imagine the nerve? Up to that point, after that many years in the day of Pentecost, it should have been known, you know, hey, it's all about the Jews, the Jewish folks. But these guys decided to step out of the box. But what happened if we get this message over to the non-Jewish population? I wonder what will happen. I don't know. Let's try it and find out. So they did. And God came right behind them, backed up the message, and the same thing happened with them that happened with the Jewish community. See, sometimes there are things that He wants to teach us, but you won't learn unless you're willing to take a step and get outside the box. You know, when I was growing up in church, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 in the New American Standard Version says this. It says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to pose a question to you. You don't need to answer it, but I do want you to ponder it. When you read a verse like this, that God is faithful, the Father is faithful, He's called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, what is this verse saying to you? When I was raised in church, what this verse said to me, and even if I could say this, even when I came over into the full gospel, so let's not blame it on any kind of thought process from any other stream of the body of Christ. When I read these verses, and the general sentiment of these verses was that theologically you were put inside of Jesus and your life was in Him. And you were going to spend eternity with Him. Am I far off in my statement? Is anybody here today? Am I far off from my statement? But I'll say this to you, that what we have not realized maybe, and maybe this is the reason why we see so much of the predominant mindset to be us versus them. Us in the church, in the four walls, versus all of them out there in the world that's burning and going to hell. Maybe we haven't realized that when Father said He was faithful and He called you into fellowship with His Son, that wasn't really a theological statement. Maybe that was supposed to be something that you actually experienced when your legs were moving and your mouth was moving outside of the four walls of the church building. Maybe that's where you're supposed to discover that. what it really feels like, what it really is to be, quote, in fellowship with His Son. I love what the some of the other translations. If you get a chance, you know, go to Amazon and pick up the Mirror Translation. It's not. It's most of the New Testament. There's a blue covered one. If you like hard copies, then get that one. But if you like Kindle versions or things you can download on your iPad and scribble all up and, you know, highlight stuff and cut and paste into your own study notes, you can get. There's one with the red cover. It's you can download that one. But I love this because the Mirror Translation of 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this: "We are surnamed by God. He is our true lineage." Everybody say, "He's my true lineage." He is faithful and fully persuaded about our joint participation in the fellowship of sonship. See, it doesn't sound like to me that Father's mentality is, this is just a theological idea that your life is now hidden in Him. See, when Father says your life is hidden in Him, He's not thinking theologically. He's thinking in the realm of reality, in where you live, like John said, that's John the Baptist, he said, he came to the place where he said, I must decrease and He must increase. Paul said it, maybe a little bit more New Covenant. He said, the life that I live by the faith that comes from the Son of God. Little side note on that. My desire for you is to really have what I have said to you about what faith is explode on the inside of you. And folks, I realize, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I realize there are so many authors and so many books and so many slants and so many writings on the subject of faith that first question you would ask, well, why would I take your explanation of what faith is over somebody else's book? Read your Bible. When you read your Bible, you'll find out that all of those folks in the Gospels, had you ever stopped to realize that you weren't supposed to relate to them? Did you think about that? Because they're not even new creations. Are they? So is it possible that there's a faith that belongs to the new covenant, that belongs to the new man, that isn't what you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? If you read Hebrews, you'll find out that the new covenant, from the vantage point of heaven, the Spirit of God is telling you that faith is the evidence of things that is not seen. Faith is literally the conduit through which Father communicates to you what is a reality in the realm of the Spirit. And He's trying to get you to take ownership of it. That ownership looks like what Mark calls believing. These signs will follow them that believe in My name. Let me ask you a question. Was that statement in Mark 16 pre-New Covenant or post? Now granted, I understand that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I get that. But before Jesus is raised from the dead, nobody had the ability to be that new man. Right? To see those things. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, look, if I explain natural things to you and you don't get it, how is it that I'm expecting you to understand spiritual things? We're speaking of things that we see and that we know. We explain them to you, but you don't understand. Pre-New Covenant, post-New Covenant. So when you come into the New Covenant after the resurrection of Jesus, you'll find that when you read your Bible, that every time faith arises in your heart, what you'll find is faith is completely tied to the Holy Spirit revelation of Scripture. And I said this kind of at the end of last week, maybe we'll get into my notes, that our job as New Covenant men and women is to farm revelation from the Scripture. Folks, if you have this idea that you can exist as a New Covenant believer without opening your Bible, somebody sold you a bill of goods. And maybe, just maybe, if you'll come to the place where we realize that in 1 Corinthians 1:9, where Father is talking about being joint, persuaded of our joint participation in the fellowship of sonship, that we're included in everything that our Lord Jesus and the Father enjoys, or as the Passion Translation says it, God is forever faithful and can be trusted to do this for you. He has invited you to co-share the life of His Son, Jesus the Anointed, our King. Let me ask you a question. The life that He's speaking of, is that separate from the Father opening His mouth? No. Jesus said, man was designed to live by every word spoken out of the mouth of Father. That's fellowship. But it all comes from us understanding that just having a theological relation to Him isn't going to bring you to that place where Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is totally free. Notice this. It says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise among you in the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen things that are not, so that He nullifies the things that are, so that no man can boast before God. So, I've got good news for you. If you were ever concerned about a reputation, why? Because Father is telling you, when He called you into fellowship with His Son, the first thing you can relieve your mind of is the fact that you can be a nobody. And in fact, that's exactly who He wants. Notice this. It says, but by His doing, you're in Christ Jesus. We just read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, the mere translation says this. It is almost as if God deliberately handpicked the wacky of this world. So guess what? How many wacky folks we got in here? How many are worried about being wacky? You need to get over your bad self. Because He's specifically choosing the wacky ones. To embarrass the wise, the rejects, how many rejects we got? How many are worried about being a reject? You need to get over yourself. Because He picks the rejects. The ones that are nobodies. He wants you to basically, He wants you to be of no reputation in your own mind. Verse 28, the ones with no pedigree of any prominence, the nobodies, in quotes, in society, attracts God's initiative to unveil His blueprint opinion in order to redefine man. Thus, He rendered any other social standard entirely irrelevant. Everybody say, entirely irrelevant. So if every other social standard is entirely irrelevant and inappropriate, then what would happen if we unhitched ourselves from those social standards and just were okay with being nobodies? You want to know what happened? You know that 10-step process, that stairway to heaven, so to speak? You would escalate to the top of that in no time. You would begin to understand and experience what the fellowship that Father has called us into with His Son really was. See, we're the ones that made it all about sit on your couch and open and read print. Because that's safe. It's not that we don't need to be doing that, but we don't need to be staying there. Right? Verse 29 says, every reason for man's boasting in himself dwindles into insignificance before God. Verse 30, of God's doing, we're in Christ. He is both the genesis and the genius of our wisdom. A wisdom that reveals how righteous, sanctified, and redeemed we already are. So I want to kind of touch on that this morning. Because maybe this is the reason why, if you look at that 10-planked stair step, maybe this is the reason why we haven't developed in all of those and we're already standing on the top. Because this verse here talks about the fact that He's the genesis and the genius of our wisdom that reveals how righteous and set apart and redeemed we already are. You know how many folks I've talked to, and I'm not talking about in this church, I'm just talking about in life, that are supposed, that call themselves named by the name of Christ, that absolutely have absolute no clue what life is like living out from underneath the baggage of who they think they are. Folks, it's not about reading a book. It's not about listening to a DVD message. It's not about listening to a CD message. Those things are great. But I'm talking about the fellowship the Father is talking about is, He's talking about a direct one-on-one fellowship with Him. Somewhere along the way, we kind of got this idea that we could grow up in God having go-betweens. Well, I listen to brother so-and-so. Or I listen to sister so-and-so. Or I do this, or I do that. I listen to that person, this person, the other person. Every person on this TV station, every person on that TV station. But how many know none of that is fellowship with the Father? Did you hear what I just said? None of that is fellowship with the Father. Listen, let me just put it in a picture like this. What if I'll sit over here. I was going to pull up my phone and bring up the old text, but I won't do that. What if my fellowship with that girl over there was from here? Hi. How's it going? Good. How much fellowship am I going to get? What about this? Okay, you know her, right?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you sit right there? And so, you can tell me all about her. Tell me all about her, and, you know, what should I know about her?
She's great.
Yeah?
And she's so cute. And she's my favorite
Jolie
in the whole world.
Okay, cool. Am I having fellowship with her yet? I'm talking to her about her, but I'm not having fellowship with her direct, am I? This right here is what most people call fellowship with God. That in the middle could be a book, it could be a DVD, it could be a CD, it could be an MP3, it could be a TV show, it could be a TV program, it could be a TV network. But it's not fellowship with the end person, is it? Okay, thanks. But if I spend some time, if I go, yeah, I see that. God wouldn't do that, by the way.
Bill.
If I come over here and I sit down next to her and I spend some time with her, y'all can go home.
Huh?
Am I having some fellowship with her?
Yes.
Yeah. And we can talk.
Right.
And she can tell me how super duper I am.
Absolutely.
Because Father does that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're having a good time. And we can go hang out together And we can walk around together. We can spend time together. We're talking to each other.
And we don't always have to talk.
No, we don't even have to talk.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times we just sit here and just kind of just enjoy each other's presence.
Yep.
Am I having fellowship with her? This is how you need to have fellowship with Jesus.
That's good.
If you're not doing this, you're not having fellowship with him. You're having fellowship with a surrogate. Imagine from Father's perspective, if he wanted to have fellowship with you, because he has so many things he wants to show you, and he has so many things, even about how clean you are, and how righteous you are, because your life is hidden in his Son, and he's called you into fellowship with his Son, so he wants you to experience the same level of conversation, interaction than Jesus does with him. He wants you to have that same interaction with him and in the same way. But we go and turn the TV on. Well, I watch a show. Again, I'm not putting down any networks. I'm not putting any of that down at all. Because understand this, folks, the Spirit of God gives all kinds of folks in the body of Christ insight that we want to reap. But when you take those individuals, you take those people, you take those shows, you take those books, you take those MP3s, you take all of that, and you substitute it for sitting down and spending time with him. Well, I don't like to do that. It's too uncomfortable. Who told you it was supposed to be uncomfortable? So you've been listening to somebody. You didn't know who it was because you just adopted their mindset. Who told you it was supposed to be uncomfortable? Because these verses say you have the exact same DNA as he does. We're not living in the age where the Ark of the Covenant is behind a veil and you can't go get in there. That was uncomfortable. But that veil's not there anymore. But here's the thing. Maybe the Passion Translation says it like this in verse 30, 31. For it's not from man that we draw our life, but from God as we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Verse 31, and this fulfills what is written, if anyone boasts, let him boast only what the Lord is doing. Maybe the reactions of our hearts are simply reflecting the absence of that direct fellowship with him. Maybe that's what that's revealing, is the lack of direct fellowship. Because how many know, if we go back to the scenario where I'm across the room and I have a go-between person sitting in the chair, and they're the ones that are talking to me about the one I want to have fellowship with. In fact, go ahead and sit over here again. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to come to you, and I want you to tell me about the one I want to have fellowship with. But this time, I want you to make stuff up, and I want you to tell me things about how she thinks of me that's not really true. So I have to come up to a certain level,
yeah,
of behavior and
a certain,
before I can come into her presence, I have to act different and be different, and I have to.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Believe I know her.
Wow. So, what you're saying then is, if I spend any time with her, she's going to see all the things that are wrong with me, and that's going to be her focus. Well, that doesn't sound like anything I want to be a part of.
But you should strive for it still, because she's great.
Well, Oh. Well, I'm not really into the pain and suffering thing. Thanks, you're fired. Go. But, I realize this is kind of corny, guys, but you realize you do that every day of your life. Whether it's going to somebody's book to find out about Father or going to... And again, do not go out of here saying, Pastor said we're not supposed to read any books, anything but the Bible. I'm not saying that at all. I'm reading like 3 books at the same time. So I read books, but I read the Bible too. And the Word of God is the biggest thing in my life. He wants to spend time with you directly. And, He already told you you were supposed to be a person of no reputation. So why are we trying to hang on to one and guarding one that we think we have? It's interesting that, whether we realize it or not, folks, is this one thing of fellowship with Him. This one thing of fellowship with Him, direct fellowship. Everybody say direct.
Direct.
I don't know how I can say it. Direct fellowship doesn't mean you turn on a song and you sing. Nothing wrong with that. You might even be singing to Him. But where do we get the idea that we have to have something between us in order for us to... why can't we just go straight to Him and let Him speak into our lives? You open your Bible, you open the Word of God, you open and you begin to spend time with Him and you say, Father, I'm reading this Word because I want to know You. I don't want to know about You. I want to know You. Somewhere along the way, we got this idea that knowing about Him was good enough. All over the world, people go to Bible college. Again, don't get in the ditch on anything I'm saying. Pastor said we're not supposed to have any Bible college. We're going to have one. We're going to have one, and we went to one. I'm not saying that. But when that Bible college becomes only knowing, because you're going there because you want to know about Him, then we're still falling short of the glory of God. Right? He said you have no reputation, so stop trying to guard one and protect one. And the thing that's so cool about it is this. What we need to realize is this, is the reaction in our heart is to those around us, even to our own selves, but when we're by ourselves, is simply a mirror reflecting how much time we spend daily with Jesus directly. Because what happens, here's what happens when we spend time with Him directly. Notice this about Jesus in Philippians. It says this, that have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although He existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But He emptied Himself. One translation says he became of no reputation. How many know I can't offend you if you have no reputation in your own eyes? Did you hear what I just said? No one can offend you or hurt you if you already have no reputation. Now, if you're trying to prop up something who you think you are in your own eyes and something comes across your path that seems to contradict or challenge that, then all of a sudden now you take offense. Folks, we had prayer requests. I asked you last week to write down. I want you to write down the biggest thing you're believing God for in 2017. And a lot of what we found that were the answers were things that you can't get prayer for. They come from your level of fellowship with Him, not somebody praying for you. I can't pray that you won't get offended. It's impossible. Because Jesus says, you take no offense. I can't pray for you that you'll only speak what Jesus speaks, you'll only speak what God says, you'll only say this, I can't pray for you for that. Because that is a result of your choice to have fellowship with Him directly and make it a life habit of yours, to the point where everything that you get in His presence, it rubs off on you, so that when you're out there, you just do that. But it's directly related to your fellowship with Him, not somebody praying for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus, to agree to live in unity with one another. Put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as a united body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective. You know how we're going to accomplish this? If we're all spending direct time with Jesus. The Mirror translation says it like this: My dear brothers, because you are surnamed and identified in the name of our Master Jesus Christ, I urge you to speak with one voice, to say the same thing. We share the same source as our reference. You remember the other day we were talking about that point of reference? That Romans talked about. Let me just go there real quick. Romans talked about the point of reference. Whether your point of reference is natural things, or your point of reference is things coming from the Spirit of God. It's not that we need to get out of this mentality of things that are sin and things that are not sin. You're living under the wrong tree.
Right.
You remember in the garden there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's a tree of life. Many of us have been living under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so everything to us is either sin or not sin. How about it either produces life or it doesn't produce life? Your point of reference, what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8, where he says, those who have a mindset of the flesh produce death. Notice that's an issue of life and death, not sin. Those that have a mindset on the things of the Spirit of God will produce life, will produce the Zoe life of God. So it's all about what your point of reference is. Well, 1 John 4:19 says this: We love because He first loved us. Let me break that down for you. The more time you spend in direct fellowship with Jesus, the less of a challenge you have loving people. And the less of a need you find to defend your reputation, because you don't have one. This is why I say most of what we see, most of the challenge, whether it's church splits or whatever it is, most of the challenges we see in the body of Christ are because of the fact that we have settled for non-direct fellowship with Jesus. So everything else is speaking to you, including stuff that shouldn't be. And all the things that shouldn't be are trying to anchor you and keep your point of reference on natural things, so that your responses to people will be natural. You get pulled over into a fence even when you didn't want to, but you'll get pulled over there because there's nothing to combat all of the natural points of reference that you've built into your life, because there is no constant, continuous, direct fellowship with Jesus. Because this verse, what this verse actually says, 1 John 4:19, this is the most amazing verse in the entire Bible. He's simply telling us that if you'll spend enough time in me loving you, the automatic result of that is as soon as you leave that environment, you will love people. And you'll be like Jesus. You'll make yourself of no reputation, because it doesn't matter to you. See, this is the only way that we're going to truly be a people that are free and free indeed, is if we actually learn to live in the fellowship of His Son, not from a theological standpoint, but from a very, 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 very practical, direct connection with Him every day of your life in His Word. Again, if you got some idea or somebody told you that you could live life and you don't need to crack the Bible open except for maybe on Sundays, then you bought some swampland in Florida. Because nothing's going to take you to the place of being free and free indeed except direct fellowship with Jesus in His Word, letting His love wash over you so that it gives you the empowerment to be able to love anybody and everybody. To whatever degree you're having a challenge loving anybody and everybody or not taking offense, that should be a direct reflection on how much you want to step up your direct fellowship with Jesus. Because He's giving you this promise in 1 John 4:19. If you make My love and Me loving you and what My love communicates to you when you spend time with Me directly, not through a surrogate, not through a book, not through a CD, not through a TV program, a network, anything, but directly. All those other things can be in addition too. But you got to have directly. If you'll allow My love to wash over you and bring you to a place, then you will no longer feel the need to defend your reputation because you don't care, you don't have one. You won't have any issues looking like a fool in public because you don't have a reputation to defend. And quite frankly, if you let My love wash over you, it's going to drive out every ounce of fear in your life, and it will keep you so clean and so safe that nothing that the world has. In fact, this is what Paul said. I have come to the place where the world is completely circumcised to Me. Why? Because of the direct fellowship with Jesus. Again, we'll say it like this. Lack of love for people is a telltale sign that you have lacked direct time with Him. Because, 1 John 4:9 says, we love because He first loved us. I love the way He made it so easy. Just hang out with Me, all the other stuff, man, I'll take care of that. You don't have to try. Just hang out with Me. You hang out with Me enough, you'll stop mattering in your own eyes. Because you'll have so much value from Me that you'll begin to see you like I see you, and you won't be trying to live some false sense of importance. And we'll completely obliterate everything the world's trying to deposit in you that matters. In fact, that's exactly what it talked about in previous verses, about completely obliterating the previous standard of significance, or whatever you want to say. Notice this. Psalms 23, 2 and 3. How many have read these verses? A bunch of times. You want a new thought? Talking about direct fellowship with Jesus. Psalms 23, verse 2 says, He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That was a nice verse. Kind of gives you a warm fuzzy right here. But you know what that verse is saying? How many ever saw that little cartoon, The Ugly Duckling? The dude was so gnarly looking that nobody wanted to hang around him. All of his siblings laughed at him. And then one day he walked by a pond. What happened when he walked by the pond? He looked in. What do you see? He saw a beautiful swan. That's who he really was. When this verse says he leads you beside quiet waters, he's not just wanting you to lay down and look up at the sky. He wants you to look in the waters and he wants to show you a reflection. That's why the next verse says he's guiding you in the paths of righteousness, because what you're seeing in the reflection of the water is how he really sees you. But folks, we can't manufacture this. You can't get this from a show. You can't get this from a book. You can't get this from any surrogate. You can only get this direct from Jesus. You got to spend some time with Him. and let His love watch over you. I can love people because He first loved me. And when He loved me, it drove out every trace of fear in my life. It drove out every trace of inferiority out of my life. It drove any trace of me having some kind of propped up reputation that I got to try to protect. You could say it like this: by the waters of reflection, my soul remembers who I am. This all comes from direct fellowship with Him. In your Bible, it says it like this: whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. With unveiled faces, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, by being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Mirror translation says it like this: the moment anyone returns to the Lord, and I'm going to say it like this, folks, this doesn't necessarily have to mean somebody who was in the kingdom of darkness and now got put into the kingdom of life. This can mean somebody who was put into the kingdom of darkness, used to spend time with Jesus, but then, life just happens. And the minute you stop spending time with direct, and you decided that book, that DVD, that message, that whatever was good enough, all of a sudden somebody else is speaking into your ear. And all that world junk comes unloading and resets up shop. But this verse is saying, as soon as you return to the Lord, the veil goes. The Lord and the Spirit are one. His Lordship sanctions your freedom. I like the Passion Translation too. It says, the days of window shopping are over. Everybody say, the days of window shopping are over. I submit to you that so much of the body of Christ is totally satisfied with just window shopping. Well, I'll buy that book. I'll buy that book on the gifts of the Spirit. That's window shopping. I'll listen to that message on living in fellowship with Him. That's window shopping. I don't have to tell you, if I put a window between her and I, how much fellowship am I actually going to get? I just get the outward. Which, it's not bad, by the way. But window shopping needs to be something you're done with. The days of window shopping are over. In Him, every face is unveiled. In gazing with wonder at the blueprint likeness of God, displayed in human form, we suddenly realize that we are looking at ourselves. See, when you spend time with Him direct, everybody say direct. He wants to show you your reflection in that still waters. He wants to show you your reflection in that mirror you're looking at in your Bible. And every feature of His image is mirrored in us. This is the most radical transformation engineered by the Spirit of the Lord. We are led from an inferior mindset to the revealed endorsement of our authentic identity. You know, it's impossible to have authentic community without the people of a local church having authentic identity. You must say amen, it's true. He not only wants to establish authentic community, but He also wants to establish you with an authentic identity. Because when you have your authentic identity, you're no longer trying to guard a reputation that's not even you. And you can love people that in your natural self you probably wouldn't be able to, but because you spend so much direct time with Him, His love just flows out of you and it's easy. See, really, when we get down to it, folks, that's what's going to catapult you to the top of those 10 steps. Because the bottom one is prayer walking, but really before the prayer walking is direct fellowship with Him. Right? Verse 17 and 18 of the Passion Translation says, the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit. Notice He's referring to the one who is inside of you, not the one that we don't have a face for, who's up in heaven somewhere that has an image. Hello? He's talking about the Holy Spirit in you. The Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we've become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. We are being transfigured into the very image. That Holy Spirit is the one that 1 Corinthians says is the one who knows how Father thinks. He knows how Father thinks, and we've received that very same Spirit. We've received the Spirit who is from God so that we may know. May know what? Well, a lot of things. But certainly a starting point would be to know how He thinks of you. Folks, understand, I'm not talking about an in Him reality here. All of those things are fantastic. But if that's as far as it ever goes with you, you're never going to experience what really living in Him is. Because living in Him is as much learned, not just on your couch, but on your couch with direct fellowship with Him, letting Him speak over your life, but then you go out there and He begins to reveal what's on the inside of you just because you get used to staying in step with Him. And every time you do, He unpacks something else that was in there that you didn't know was in there. And you begin to look more and 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 more like Jesus. Is this making sense to anybody? Something to think about. Can we create a culture within a local church that is rooted in our literal fellowship with Him? No veils, no assumptions, and no offense. I'm not talking about anybody else's culture. I'm talking about this one. Can we create a culture within this local church that is rooted in our literal fellowship with Him? No veils, no assumptions, and no offense. You say, what would assumptions be? Well, assumptions would be you assume you know what someone's saying when they say it, and you react a certain way. But it wasn't where they were coming from at all. But the reason why it hits you that way is because 1 John 4:9 is not happening in your life. Notice this is interesting. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Now, you know the reputation the Corinthian church had, right? He said in chapter 3, man, you guys are living like mere men. I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you, man. I want to share a lot of stuff with you, but you're just walking around like normal people. Isn't that interesting that the Holy Spirit said that's not okay? We say, oh, that's totally cool. You're normal. Normal according to what reference? But notice what happened here. 1 Corinthians 4, first of all, let me back it up. He said this, he said in chapter 3, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as infants in Christ. So they are born from above, they're just walking around. Their point of reference is their natural reference. I give you milk to drink and not solid food, because you're not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshy. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshy, and are you not walking like mere men? So what are the indications of walking as a natural person? How you react. The assumptions you make based on what's said. Holy Spirit's telling us those are indicators that would tell you where you're referenced. Notice He goes on in the next chapter. He says this. Now, he said a number of things up to this point. You can go in your own Bible in chapter 4 and read them. But he laid some things out. He said, basically, look, he said, I understand that as far as you're concerned, we're at the bottom of the barrel as far as importance. He said, but notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, the one who examines me is the Lord. He said, I don't even examine myself. He said before this, he said, it means very little to me that you even pass judgment on me. He said, I'm going to tell you, you need to, well, he says it here. He says, you need to stop passing judgment before the appropriate time. Why? Because as mere men, the judgment you're coming up with is the wrong one. It's an assumption that's based on something completely that you don't have insight into, and you're assuming something. So it takes you to a place of drawing conclusion about something, which causes you to go someplace in your emotions, and all of a sudden you realize you're way out there in left field, and you were supposed to be over here, but you're over here. But it's because your point of reference is off. He's saying this to these people. He says, look, the one who examines me, it's not important to me that you pass judgment on me. He said, I don't even pass judgment on myself. I let the Lord do that for me. He said, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things that are hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. You notice that he's talking about their vantage point and their conclusions they're drawing on Paul. And he's saying, let me give you a little bit of wisdom. Don't pass judgment on me. You wait until the Lord comes back. And he reveals some things about what my motives are. And when they're fully exposed and you see that I receive my praise from him, you won't have stepped out and made a fool of yourself because you're on the wrong side of the issue. Why? Because they're living as mere men. They need that direct fellowship with Jesus. Because it'll keep you clean, it'll keep your vantage point accurate, it'll keep you out of your own head. Right? So the focus for us should be the context of mindsets of mere men versus the mindset of Jesus. Right? We want to have the mindset of Jesus. Well, the way you have a mindset of Jesus is you spend direct time with him. Last verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everything we could ever need for this life and complete devotion, everybody say complete devotion, has already been deposited in us by his divine power. It's already in you. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him. Notice it says knowing him, not knowing about him. Who has called us by his name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. And then I love this last verse. As a result of this, as a result of that direct fellowship with him, he's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience what? With the divine nature. It doesn't mean you don't have it. But it's through our direct fellowship with him that he brings us to a place of having, number one, his insight. His love watches over us. He gives us the ability to love because he's loved us first. And he hooks us up with revelation in his tremendous promises, and then we get to experience partnership with the divine nature, because all of those things take you out there. Take you up the top of the ladder. Did you get anything out of this? So authentic fellowship produces authentic community. Everybody stand. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to play that video again. I want you to just listen and let the Spirit of God minister to your heart. Folks, I'm telling you, if you let this get in you, by the end of this year, you'll have such a different looking relationship with him. That you'll never imagine what life was like without it. All of those stirrings on the inside of you to be significant. Well, I've been fed and met because you'll turn around and you'll see literal, real people that used to be in the kingdom of darkness, but are now standing with you in the kingdom of life. And the question, I promise you, will be, how was I ever satisfied with anything less than this? This is the most fantastic experience in Jesus that there is. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. I'm excited for the weekly testimonies of the people that you struck up conversations with and as you worked on the Holy Spirit and helped you develop in these areas, in the ten planks or steps or whatever we call them. To see you, your testimonies that come in every week that show how you're allowing the Spirit of God to stretch you, to develop you, to cause you to move up and move up. And pretty soon you'll start seeing all kinds of new faces all over, because they're a result of everybody that you talk to and you allow God to utilize you to bring them out of darkness into light. It's all inside of you because He put it there. Now we just need to listen to the right voice that encourages us to let it out. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? What's the one thing you got out of this? Somebody say one thing. What's the one thing? You just told me you got something out of it. Nobody say anything. Knowing Him. Time with Him, yeah. Anybody else? If we just make ourselves of no reputation right now, just be easy. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. And we thank You, Lord, that You love us too much to keep us the way we are. Father, I thank You for the growth and the drawing in of into fellowship, true, actual, direct fellowship with You that You're taking us into in this year. Father, I thank You for fruit. And no wonder You said that You're the ones that ordained us to bear fruit. We were trying to do it some other new way. And it just comes from being in fellowship with You and the byproduct of that. So we just praise You and bless You for bringing us into the truth of these things. We thank You that this church will fulfill the heart's desire that You have inside of You. And we will accomplish all that You have in Your heart. We will not veer to the right or to the left. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.